is Reverend Dr. Larry Griffin. Today's broadcast is dedicated to the glory of God and is in loving memory of an elder.
The Lord be with you. We welcome you on this fourth Sunday in the Epiphany season as we begin a new sermon series entitled Faith Cometh by Hearing. A couple of announcements to mention. The Operation Christmas Shoebox presentation will be today at 10 o'clock until 10:30 or so. And there will be treats, cake, provided by our youth group. So we invite you over to the fellowship hall for that. And the Bible class today is focused on 2 Timothy chapter 3. If you haven't tried Bible class for a time, we'd love to have you join us. Secondly, there will be no Monday morning Bible class tomorrow due to the funeral of Tim Price, which will be tomorrow, Monday, the funeral for Tim Price at 11 o'clock with visitation an hour preceding. We begin with our opening hymn.
Jesus Christ,
Please rise. The order of service today is page 151. Page 151. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us.
But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just,
will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Let us then confess our sins to God, our Father. Most merciful God, we confess that we are by nature sinful and unclean. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We justly deserve your present and eternal punishment. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us, forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your holy name. Amen. Almighty God, in his mercy, has given his Son to die for you, and for his sake forgives you all your sins. As a called and ordained servant of Christ, and by his authority, I therefore forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. He is like a tree planted by streams of water that yields its fruit in its season, and its leaf does not wither. In all that he does, he prospers. The wicked are not so, but are like chaff that the wind drives away. Therefore, the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish. In peace, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord. For this holy house, and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
Help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord.
Thank you.
Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Almighty God, you know that we live in the midst of so many dangers that in our frailty we cannot stand upright. Grant strength and protection to support us in all dangers and carry us through all temptations. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. First lesson is in the prophet Micah, chapter 6. Hear what the Lord says. Arise, plead your case before the mountains, and let the hills hear your voice. Hear, you mountains, the indictment of the Lord, and you enduring foundations of the earth, for the Lord has an indictment against his people, and he will contend with Israel. O my people, what have I done to you? How have I wearied you? Answer me, for I brought you up from the land of Egypt and redeemed you from the house of slavery, and I sent before you Moses, Aaron, and Miriam. O my people, remember what Balak, king of Moab, devised, and what Balaam, the son of Beor, answered him, and what happened from Shittim to Gilgal, that you may know the righteous acts of the Lord. With what shall I come before the Lord and bow myself before God on high? Shall I come before him with burnt offerings, with calves a year old? Will the Lord be pleased with thousands of rams, with 10,000s of rivers of oil? Shall I give my firstborn for my transgression, the fruit of my body for the sin of my soul? He has told you, O man, what is good, and what does the Lord require of you, but to do justice, and to love kindness, and to walk humbly with your God. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Praise the Lord, all nations. Extol him, all peoples. For great is his steadfast love toward us, and the faithfulness of the Lord endures forever. Ascribe to the Lord the glory due his name. Bring an offering. Come into his courts. Today's epistle lesson is in 1 Corinthians 1. For the word of the cross is folly to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and the discernment of the discerning I will thwart. Where is the one who is wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the debater of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of the world? For since in the wisdom of God, the world did not know God through wisdom, it pleased God through the folly of what we preach to save those who believe. For Jews demand signs and Greeks seek wisdom, but we preach Christ crucified, a stumbling block to Jews and folly to Gentiles, but to those who are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. For the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. For consider your calling, brothers. Not many of you were wise according to worldly standards, and not many were powerful, not many were of noble birth. But God chose what is foolish in the world to shame the wise. God chose what is weak in the world to shame the strong. God chose what is low and despised in the world, even things that are not, to bring to nothing things that are, so that no human being might boast in the presence of God. And because of him, you are in Christ Jesus, who became to us wisdom from God, righteousness and sanctification and redemption, so that, as it is written, let the one who boasts boast in the Lord. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Please rise.
The Holy Gospel according to Matthew chapter 5. Seeing the crowds, Jesus went up on the mountain, and when he sat down, his disciples came to him, and he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when others revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven, for so they persecuted the prophets who were before you." This is the gospel of our Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
The congregation may be seated. At this time, we invite forward children of all ages, who would like to come on up and help me share the Word of God today. We got 9 questions for you today, 9 choices to make, right? All right, thanks for coming up. It'd be hard to have a children's lesson if you didn't come up.
Yeah.
I could still do it, but it would be more difficult. Come on up. Grandmas are welcome too. Yeah. Say, I got a few questions for you. Today we want to think about blessings. Who can tell me what a blessing is? It's okay, you're good there too. What's a blessing?
Talking to Jesus,
that is a blessing, yep. A blessing is it's a good thing, right? So, got some choices for you today. Would you rather have $1,000 or a plate of carrots? Which would you rather have? How many would rather have the plate of carrots? Raise your hand. Oh, man, oh, man. How many of you would rather have $1,000? I think so. How many of you would rather have a huge dish of ice cream with all the toppings or a moldy piece of bread? What would you rather have?
Ice cream.
The ice cream, absolutely. These are easy choices. How many of you would rather have a 1-hour church service or a 3-hour church service?
3 hours.
You're one of my favorites, I tell you that. Oh, man, oh, man. All right, so now some harder choices here. How many would rather have a hamburger or a hot dog? Raise your hand if it's a hamburger. Raise your hand if it's a hot dog. There you go. How many would you rather have a new car or a new boat? Raise your hand for a new car. Raise your hand for a new boat. There you go. How many would you rather have a trip to Disney World or $5,000? Raise your hand for a trip to Disney. There you go, raise your hand for $5,000. There you go. I think that's the better deal, actually, yeah. All right, now three more important choices. Would you rather have the forgiveness of sins or $100? Raise your hand for forgiveness of sins, yeah. So Jesus says, blessed are they who mourn. That means blessed are they who are sorry for their sins, for they shall be comforted. They shall have the forgiveness of sins, and that's a real blessing, right? Next question, how many of you would you rather listen to God's word? It's a tough one now. Would you rather listen to God's word or watch TV?
Watch TV,
raise your hand. Listen to God's word. Raise your hand. Bless your hearts. Blessed are those who are hungry and thirsty for righteousness, Jesus says, for they shall be satisfied. Yeah, all right, last question. Would you rather have a house, a family where there's peace and joy, or would you rather have a fancy new house? Would you rather have peace and joy in your house or a fancy new house? Raise your hand for a fancy new house. There you go. Raise your hand for peace and joy in your household. Yeah. So Jesus said, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called children of God. All right. So today we're going to talk about the true blessings of life and how we have them in Jesus, who died on the cross for us and loves us so much. Let's pray. Dear Jesus, thank you for loving us. Thank you for dying on the cross. Thank you for blessing us. Amen. Thanks for coming up today. Thanks for coming up. There you go. Grace, mercy, and peace be multiplied to you from God our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Our sermon series theme verse is this one. So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. This is our text. Dear friends in Christ, today we begin a four-part series of sermons on the nature and benefits of Christian faith. The sermon series will take us to the end of the Epiphany season, culminating with Transfiguration Sunday and the beginning of the Lenten season. Next Sunday, we will focus on living in faith. The following Sunday, growing in faith. The following Sunday, mountaintop faith. Today, the blessedness of faith. The writer to the Hebrews defines Christian faith as the assurance of things hoped for and the conviction of things not seen. Paul writes to the Romans that Christian faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. The psalmist says that a man or a woman of faith is like a tree planted by streams of water that yields its fruit in its season and whose leaf never withers. Luther reminds us that we cannot by own reason or strength believe in the Lord Jesus or come to him, but that faith is a gift of the Holy Spirit. It is the Holy Spirit who creates and strengthens this gift of faith. Faith isn't a matter of pulling ourselves up by the bootstraps. Rather, it's the Spirit of God working inside of us through the preaching and the teaching and the remembering of God's word, as well as the waters of holy baptism and the eating and the drinking at the supper. In today's gospel lesson, Jesus is elaborating on the simple truth that blessed are they who hear the word of God and keep it. Blessed are they who treasure the word of God, who hold on to it into their hearts, who pass it on to the next generations, who see it as the one thing needful. Jesus is preaching in the Sermon on the Mount to the disciples. The Sermon on the Mount is the most famous of all sermons. In these opening words, the Beatitudes, Jesus is telling us not so much how to become blessed, he is describing the blessedness that already belongs to us here and now. In the Old Testament lesson, the prophet Micah described the evidence of faith in three phrases. Micah said it's to do justice, to love kindness, and to walk humbly before God. In today's epistle lesson, Paul directs us to the cross where Christ was crucified for us as the source and the object of our faith. And now in our gospel lesson, Jesus would declare his disciples blessed because of what he himself had earned for them by living and suffering and dying and rising up again. Jesus was not making ethical demands of his followers, but rather he's describing a blessedness that we will fully enjoy in heaven, and to think about what it means to have by faith already here and now. Today we have 10 fill-in-the-blank opportunities today, 10 blessed facts, 10 little snapshots. I realize many of you have been listening to sermons for decades without taking notes, and today I invite you to do something different. Yeah. 10 little snapshots of what Christian life looks like up close and personal. How beautiful life already is for God's people, and how perfectly beautiful it will be in heaven someday. Snapshot one is that blessed are they who know that their cup is refillable. It is refillable. On the one hand, we all know folks who are the pessimists. These are the ones who spend a lot of time moaning and groaning about how their cup is half full or almost empty. And they would have us believe that the sky is going to fall any day now. On the other hand, there are the eternal optimists, those of us who wear rose-colored glasses. Those of us who think that our cup is actually running over, or at least that it's half full and everything is going to be okay. Jesus would point us to a middle ground, if you will, today. He would remind you that your cup is refillable. That as often as you hear the word of God, as often as you cry out to your God for help, help has already arrived. Snapshot number two is that blessed are they who enjoy what their Father is giving them. Your Father in heaven is all about giving to you every day. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are the beggarly in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of God. Jesus pictures Christians here as a cringing, crouching, poor, miserable sinner kind of a person who brings nothing to the plate. The attitude of a beggar is like that of a child who recognizes that all he possesses comes from his parents. It's like an overwhelmed single mom who cries out, "I can't do this anymore." And as soon as she cries out, it is as if the heavens open up and the blessings come down. It's in that moment that the heaviest of her burdens would be lifted from her shoulders. The very first question in our catechism makes this point that Christianity at its center is simply receiving the gifts our Father in heaven is wanting to give us, gifts of forgiveness and everything that goes along with it. How hard is it to open a gift and to enjoy the gift and to say thank you to the gift? And that's really the rhythm of Christianity. Snapshot 3 is that blessed are they who possess the riches of the future already here and now. Here and now. Christians have the advantage of living our stories knowing that our endings are happy. Every one of our lives is like a little Hallmark movie just waiting to be played out. Jerry, you've been watching those movies lately? Come on. We build our little mansions here on earth knowing that a mansion in heaven is waiting for us. We sin daily and we fall short every single day knowing that Christ did not fall short. We go through the ups and downs of life knowing that Christ gave up the riches of heaven and came down to accept the poverty of a Bethlehem manger. Christ accepted the obscurity of a childhood in Nazareth. Christ accepted total humiliation by death by crucifixion. And because all of that is true, we go free. We live by faith. Already here and now, the riches of God's grace are ours. Snapshot number 4 is that blessed are they who wear robes that keep on losing their stains. Losing their stains. That's another way of saying that blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. The word for mourn here indicates a loud crying out, a lamenting of our sins. We think not only of being sorry for our sins, but we grieve and sorrow for the sinfulness of the world in which we live. We have good reason to cry out for mercy, not only as individuals, but also in our marriages, in our families, to cry out for mercy as a congregation, to cry out for mercy upon our city, our state, our nation, even the world. Jesus said it this way, "Blessed are they who have washed their robes in the blood of the Lamb. Their blemishes keep disappearing. Their stains go invisible." As often as we confess, as often as we are still before Almighty God and acknowledge our guilt, as often as we step forward for the supper with contrite hearts, that often our stained, spotted, soiled robes are made white as snow. Snapshot number 5 is that blessed are they who enjoy an inheritance fought for and earned by another. That's another way of saying, blessed are the meek, for just they shall inherit the earth. In the 1930s, my father and my grandfather lost their farm. They started over in 1939. As many of you did, they worked hard. They worked hard for decades to pay their bills, to provide for the family. And fast forward for decades, and then the time came when my sisters and I experienced what many of you have gone through. Our parents died. And within a few weeks of them passing away, my sisters and I began to receive checks in the mail. We enjoy an inheritance earned by our parents. So also it is with the people of God. We enjoy an inheritance made possible by the death of Jesus Christ. We are the privileged and the blessed people of God, experiencing all kind of abundance because Christ did what he came to do. He died. This is the New Testament in my blood, shed for you, for the forgiveness of sins. Snapshot number 6 is that blessed are they who are satisfied one day at a time. They are satisfied one day at a time. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. We think here of the fourth petition where we ask God to give us this day our daily bread. Why do we pray this way? Luther answers that we might learn that God is the giver and that we would receive it with thanksgiving. In terms of physical eating and drinking, we know that the hungrier we are, the better the sandwich will taste. The more thirsty we are, the more we appreciate a glass of water. So also in terms of our soul, the more that the law has done its dirty work in our hearts, the sweeter the gospel will sound. How beautiful it is to know that on the one hand, the sins of our past have been forgiven. On the other hand, the worries of our future are in the hands of God, leaving us with just today to live and to move and to breathe and to be satisfied, to be contented one day at a time. Snapshot number 7 is that blessed are they who look out for their siblings just for the fun of it. They look out for their brothers and sisters just for the fun of it. The first 4 Beatitudes look towards God, the next 3 towards other people in our lives. Mercy and pure hearts and peacemaking are 3 virtues which mark Christians as blessed. With God, his grace towards us is first, and then our grace for one another is second. First, he is merciful toward us, and secondly, we show mercy to our brothers and sisters in Christ, not only out of a sense of duty, but also in a spirit of thanksgiving. This past week, my sister Gail and I figured out that our sister Judy and her husband Kirk have been in China for a week or so. And in these days of coronavirus outbreak, that's a scary thing. Gail and I are putting out a call far and wide for prayers for our sibling who is in danger, not just out of a sense of duty, but because we deeply care. All of you have similar stories by the dozen in your own family circles, taking care of our siblings because we're family. Snapshot number 8 is that blessed are they who live with a get-to attitude instead of a have-to attitude. Jesus said, blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. Part of the blessedness of Christian faith is that as we grow in faith towards God, we at the same time grow in love for our neighbors, even when they don't deserve it, even when they're not saying thank you, even when they're not apologizing. We have such an overabundance of grace and mercy in our hearts that it can't help but spill out. Less and less do we think to ourselves, well, I have to go to work and I have to pay my bills and I have to be nice to people. More and more we think, well, I get to go to work and I'm privileged to pay my bills, and it's a joy to be nice to my family and to provide. Less and less we have a spirit of victimhood and more a spirit of gratitude. Less and less, woe is me, and more, blessed am I. Snapshot number 9 is that blessed are they who find that their human agenda has given way to a heavenly vision. Or as Jesus said it, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. This past Tuesday and Wednesday, I visited 3 of our dear members who were in decline. First there was Tim, and then Bob, and then Marion. In all 3 cases, it was a privilege to share with them scripture and prayer In Tim's case, my last words with him were to sing, "What a Friend We Have in Jesus." In Bob and Jean's case, they were able to receive the Lord's Supper. In all three cases, their eyes were on Jesus, the author and finisher of their faith. None of them seemed to really care about their 401k pension plans, nor their retirement benefits, nor the news of the day. Their human agendas were giving way to a heavenly vision. Snapshot number 10 is that blessed are they who find their pettiness giving way to a sweet peace. Their pettiness giving way to a sweet peace. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons, daughters, children of God. The ultimate peacemaker, of course, is Christ, crucified, risen, ascended, ruling all of heaven and earth, coming back again. The word of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to those of us who are being saved, it is the power of God. Dear friends in Christ, here is St. Paul Lutheran, and out and about beyond these walls, we learn one more time today, in response to Christ, who is our peace. As St. Paul said it to the Romans, if possible, so far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all. So far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all. The kingdom of God is like a medium-sized church in a medium-sized city full of folks, increasingly aware of how on the one hand they are blessed in Christ, and how on the other hand, how troubled is the world in which they live. At the same time, they rest in God's grace, and they are restless as they see all the work there is to do out and about. At the same time, they receive the grace God is pleased to give, and they are wondering how to bend that grace out into the lives of other people. In Jesus' name, amen. The peace of God, which surpasses human understanding, keep your hearts and minds in true faith unto life eternal. Amen. We speak together the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven, and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence we shall come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. We pray. When sin stained your creation and threatened the goodness of all that you had made, O Lord, you made us clean by the blood of your Son, Jesus. You restored goodness and holiness to all things. Bless us, Father, that we may keep holy and pure the good things you have made for us. Fulfill our vocation as stewards of creation. Lord, in your mercy. Today we pray for the family of Bob Kuschel, who passed away in recent days. Also the family of Tim Price, and the family of Mary and Rosanow, who we lay to rest in these days. We pray, O Lord, for these families who are bent low in grief, that you would help them to fix their eyes on you, Jesus, the author and finisher of faith. Lord, in your mercy. We pray for those in hospice care, including Harold, for those who have been hospitalized in recent days, including Jim, for those with all kinds of health concerns, including Darlette and Cole, Eva and Jolaine and Marcia and Brian, and those we name in our hearts, heal them according to your will. Lord, in your mercy, we pray for servicemen and women serving in the military, including Noah and Ryan,
Jacob, Jordan, and Jacob, Aaron, Sarah, Kylie, Jason, David, John, that you would hold them close in these days, help them to serve with integrity, and to enjoy all the gifts of grace you want to give them. We pray now, Lord, in your mercy, bless us as we commune at your holy table today, Lord. Refresh us with your forgiveness and send us forth ready to serve. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. We continue with the service of the sacrament. The Lord be with you. Please rise. Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is truly good, right, and salutary that we should, at all times and in all places, give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord. For what had been hidden from before the foundation of the world, you have made known to the nations in your Son. In him being found in the substance of our mortal nature, you have manifested the fullness of your glory. Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying,
blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord.
Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." After the same manner, also he took the cup when he had supped, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Take, drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, shed for you for the remission of sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always.